Good morning, everyone. Can it be the case? Another Veterans Day and another war about to escalate. Certainly the date on the calendar is going to be on the minds of President Obama and his advisors.
And the rest of America.
It's sort of decision day for them. We're not going to learn their decision for a little while, but President Obama is going to meet with his national security team and review four options, apparently, a final set of four options for changing the situation, possibly upping the number of troops in Afghanistan. And David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, started the program with us by suggesting that, you know, one of the things they have to figure out is does more U.S. troops in Afghanistan increase or decrease the likelihood that Afghan forces will step up to the plate? Good morning again, David.
Good morning, John.
Let me begin by playing a clip from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who spoke last night on the Charlie Rose Show. And just listen to this, and then I have a question.
I think that this review, which has been more thorough and more debated than what we're told ever happened previously, you know, gives us a platform on which the president can stand.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about this meeting today, four options for all apparently upping the number of troops in Afghanistan. Talk about the nature of this review, though. Is she correct? Is this the most extensive review? And does that reflect the personal style of Barack Obama or the complexity of the situation in Afghanistan?
Well, I think she's partly right and partly wrong. Certainly, this review has been detailed. It began in mid to late September. There have been about two Situation Room meetings a week. The president, from all accounts, has asked a number of very deep questions, sent his staff off to answer a lot of questions that many of which are very hard to answer. You know, include things like, you know, if I do nothing, if I leave the troop levels just where they are now, what is the effect? Or what's the use of having a counterinsurgency program if I don't trust that I can ultimately hand it over to an Afghan government that is corrupt and inept? So this has been very deep. On the other hand, you have to remember that the debate that led to the surge in Iraq, which was, in the end, we think, you know, the strategy that sort of worked, or sort of began to get us out there, that was a debate that began, boy, I remember talking to members of the National Security Council about it in September, the president of 2006. The president didn't announce it until January of 2007. Now,
wow,
I think that President Obama has dug deeper and asked more questions, but certainly it hasn't been longer.
Well, let's go over the options, and do they reflect the broad sort of camps of whether Afghanistan is something we should be more involved in or less involved in the bureaucracy and the administration?
Well, John, there were three options that we knew about until recently, and then a fourth that's been added into that, quite frankly, we don't know very much about.
And there's always that fifth option, do nothing, right? That's sort of unstated.
Well, it's possible that the fourth is a do nothing.
Really?
But the three were three options that came out of the McChrystal report. This was the report that General Stanley McChrystal submitted at the end of the summer, in which he recommended an additional 45,000 troops, something like that, on top of the 65,000 American troops that are there now. And, of course, there are another 35 or more 1,000 NATO troops. But what the options that the president's looking at include a 20 to 25,000 option, a 30 to 35,000 option, and the 45,000 option. And what we reported this morning is that while their numbers all differ slightly, you're hearing Secretary Robert Gates, the Defense Secretary, Secretary Clinton, who you just heard from, and Mike Mullen, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all coming in right around the Goldilocks option of 30 or 35. But then there's a fourth option that's been added recently, and we don't know anything about it or whether there is a troop number related to it. But remember here, the numbers get all the headlines. It's changing the strategy that may determine whether we get anywhere.
I mean, and let's talk about that for a second. It seems like this numbers focus indicates that actually the harder decision is whether to stick with Hamid Karzai or bail on the Afghan government entirely. And that's a decision I don't think it looks like they're going to make here, are they?
Well, they don't have a choice on Karzai now. He was declared the victor of an election he tried to steal. And they've all come out.
Well said.
And they've all come out publicly and said he is now the leader of Afghanistan, whether we like it or not, whether we want him or not. So I think the questions get a little more complex. On the Afghan side of the border, they are, do you have any reason to believe that the kind of numbers that we envision for how we train the Afghan army and police can be met? Because remember, this is a force, at least in the Afghan army, that loses 25% of its forces a year. So you're doing a four-year projection.
Wow.
You need an entirely new army trained up in 4 years. Okay. So that's number one.
That's pretty good. Number one. We only have time for a number two.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Our number two is Pakistan.
Right.
You know, if you are doing a strategy in Afghanistan, but Al-Qaeda, which is the centerpiece of what you're fighting, is in Pakistan, and if, in fact, the leaders of the Taliban who are fighting you in Afghanistan are also in Pakistan, what have you accomplished
right.
by adding troops?
Right.
Tiny quick question before we go. Do all these options involve increasing air support? We talk about troops, but are the other things going to be increased as well?
The troops are for counterinsurgency, securing
okay.
populations. The air support, which is relatively inexpensive and a lot of which is there anyway, is for counterterrorism, and that's for going in and doing these strikes. The problem with the strikes is you end up killing a lot of civilians, and that can undercut your effort.
So they'll probably be going softly on the air support. David Sanger, thanks so much, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times, noting four options for President Barack Obama in Afghanistan on this Veterans Day, contemplating a war's escalation. Our producer, Femi Oke, spoke with some veterans yesterday at the VA hospital in Manhattan.
For those that serve, they make a sacrifice. They put their life on hold for a while. And they serve their country. Do they gain anything from it? Absolutely. What they gain from it is they gain the fact knowing that they did something a lot of other people haven't done. They supported their country, and they've made friendships that they'll have forever. I go to my reunion every year, and in normal life, I probably would have never met these people.
Serving honorably is something that few of us do. We want to hear the stories of your service at 877-8-MY-TAKE or write us at mytake@thetakeaway.org on this Veterans Day.